Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. I was wondering if you could comment on the dollar in your market segment. There are currency historians that believe with an 80% chance that the dollar will remain the reserve currency for at least another 20 years. A Chinese spokesperson commented that the yuan couldn't possibly replace the dollar's reserve currency for at least 25 to 40 years. If the dollar will remain the reserve currency for another one or two generations, this is going to affect all of our investments and the way we invest, especially precious metals. Where do you think the dollar is going in the next 5 to 30 years? Great question, and that question very much relates to what is the governance system, who's running things, and where do they want to go? I think they really do want to go to a global currency, and I think they really do want to have a digital currency. What's going to be very interesting to watch is the negotiations between the European Union and the United States over this so-called trade agreement and what that might do to a currency. One of the things we're seeing globally, as I talked about during the wrap-up, and I think I talked about it last week, is this effort to get everybody who's not in the central banking warfare model or in the central banking system in. So we targeted Afghanistan, we targeted Iraq, Syria, Libya. You know, the outliers now are Iran and North Korea. If they get those into the central banking system, watch out. You're going to start to see a lot of change accelerate. And of course, we know that Putin is sort of the stinker in the game trying to help those outliers stay out, because if you look at the different players among the BRIC nations who are not in the G7, so the G13, many of those have a vested interest in the Anglo-American alliance not getting the central control that would happen once and if everybody gets in the central banking sort of model system. So will the dollar remain the reserve currency for the next 20 to 40 years? Very possibly. There's no other contender even close. And a lot of this comes down to the question of military. At the Casey conference, there were several people who said that the Chinese were close to being able to provide the reserve currency. That's ridiculous. The Chinese just launched their first aircraft carrier. You know, to have a reserve currency, you have to control the sea lanes. You have to control the satellite lanes. You have to literally be the dominant military force, because there's an absolute relationship. That's why I call it the central banking warfare model. The central banks can't print money unless the warfare machine makes sure everybody accepts it. That's what ultimately provides the liquidity and the enforcement. So I absolutely think the dollar is going to go as long as the people who are centralizing want it to go. Do they want to replace it with something else? I'm not sure, but I think they certainly want a digital currency. They want to take the reserve currency to a very invasive digital model, and that's what we have to watch for. Not so much what the name of the currency is. So, do I think the dollar is going to go for quite some time? Yes, and I think the dollar is probably going to be very strong. It's interesting to be around the people who think the dollar is about to collapse and is certain to collapse. I don't begin to understand what the basis of their analysis is, other than they're looking at the legacy systems, which is a piece of the game. They're not looking at the whole game, and that's why I would encourage you to go back and watch Just a Taste that we did for this week. What about Puerto Rico? Will it go restructure, knock on for the muni markets? Is that part of the collapse you describe? $80 billion for a 4 million population, many federal subsidies. Who ended up with those funds? Good question. I have never looked closely at Puerto Rico. Based on what I knew in Wall Street, it was a place to be avoided. I suspect a lot of that money has gone down the black budget. How they're going to restructure, I have no idea. I will check around and see if I can sort of get a take on Puerto Rico, but it's one of those municipal situations that's in big trouble, and it's only going to be able to sort of grind its way through if the federal budget carries it through. If not, you could get a real mess. But I don't know what's happening. I'll make an effort to take a look and see if I can find out. Looks like the head of the group that won the Nobel Prize for chemical weapons destruction was forced out by Bush because he was insisted that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Very good thing to point out. Thank you to Janine. We've put that up in Top Picks on the blog. I love it. I love how subscribers send us some of the greatest finds. Our interview this week is John Rappaport talking about the sort of deeper reality of Obamacare. Our post about that Salieri report brought forth some very interesting comments. I would really encourage you to read them up on the blog. They inspired me to write short commentary on the blog. Let me read it to you. The announcement of a bipartisan deal to open the government and keep the debt issuance humming along is a reprieve from the dark dawning on millions of Americans that the endgame is upon us. If you are a Salieri Report subscriber, check out the comments to this week's Salieri Report blog post. Highly responsible Americans are now learning the facts of what will happen as Obamacare is applied to their particular situation. No platitudes, just the ugly truth. More people without health care, more taxes in a sneaky form, doctors leaving the field. For many people who pay the high prices instead of the tax for not participating, they will also discover when the time comes to use the policies, the procedures they need will probably not be covered. There will be problems, excuses, and the experiences will be gruesome and depressing. The president announced today that he wanted to get accomplished by the end of the year, what he wanted to get accomplished by the end of the year, including immigration reform. One of the things that will be buried in the immigration reform will be provisions to grandfather foreign students into residency and citizenship. These will be entrepreneurs who will help kickstart a new wave of innovation and the crowdfunding revolution. If you want health care, best to focus on building in the new part of the economy that is growing so you can afford services purchased for cash. In that model, your best investment is on preventative efforts, first and foremost, fresh food and water. Step one is to start helping each other figure out how to build pathways to stay healthy in these times. We're going to have to get creative. We are on our own. Okay, I just wanted to read you a couple of the comments because they're very, very appropriate. One from Marilyn. Since 1957, the American Veterinarian Association has provided health care for its 35,000 members, beginning as soon as a student enters veterinary school through retirement. Now with Obamacare, the association is forced to discontinue this service, so they decided to set up a private exchange for their members. Their private exchange has been up and running since spring 2013, but since Obama and HHS keep changing the mandatory policy everyone must buy, they still cannot get any insurance company to lock in a firm price and sell a policy on their exchange. This is like a car dealer building a beautiful new store to sell new cars but with no product to put in the showroom because the government keeps outlawing all the new cars as they come off the assembly line. Instead of reducing the people who are uninsured, it looks like Obamacare just increased the number of uninsured by 35,000. My 30-year-old son being one of them, when he goes to the federal exchange, he is put into Medicaid since he is in his last year of vet school and does not have an income. He does not want to be in Medicaid because taking 25 hours in vet school each term does not give him all day to wait in line for treatment. The cliff he is worried about arrives on December 31, 2013, when after that he will be in a free fall without health care for the first time in his life. What can he do to get treatment when he needs it without breaking the law? And then from another subscriber who I've met, wonderful subscriber who I met at a lunch in Marin County. I've been enrolled in a Kaiser plan with a $5,000 deductible for 3 years. After the deductible is met, I'm covered 100%. The cost was $297 a month. I also have an HSA, so figured I was pretty much set. A couple of weeks ago, I got a notice from Kaiser indicating that my new plan, which would comply with ACA, would have a $5,000 deductible, and after that is met, I would be responsible for 40% of healthcare costs. The new plan will cost $595 a month. I can apply for government assistance based on 2012 income and pay $330 a month. That was a bad year for our business and our income was lower than usual. But if our income increases greatly this year, and I believe it will, we will be liable for the difference and have no idea what that will be at this point. It could be up to $800 a month. Since the only alternative covered California gave me was a silver plan, that without government assistance would cover $800 a month, would cost $800 a month. So I'm either going to have to do without insurance or find some alternative. Basically, ACA priced me out of health insurance. Then there are two posts from a wonderful doctor who's thinking of leaving the field for the basic reason that this system is now going to force him to act in ways which he feels, well, he refers to the immorality of the system. I couldn't agree more. He's not the first doctor who's told me in the last month that he's leaving the profession. In fact, there are several doctors who've told me that there's no way they can function under the new system. So the reality is Obamacare is going to force many of us much further away from traditional systems. And that's why it's increasingly important that we really take the attitude that we need to help each other in this. I'll just talk very personally because these are very personal decisions. My decision during the litigation was that it was not safe for me to use traditional healthcare in any way. I finally gave up trying to get and maintain insurance for a variety of reasons, one of which I did not want my data in the system. I didn't think it was safe to have my data in the system at the time. And so I ended up making a command decision to just live without healthcare insurance. Off and on, we've looked at doing an HSA for Solari, and I suspect we probably will. But if you look at increasingly the money spent on healthcare by me and the people around me or the people in my network, a lot of it's not covered by insurance. And so there's a real economic question of, do I spend the money for preventative healthcare and for fresh food and the kind of things that keep me healthy, or do I spend the money on insurance? So I have no intention of doing anything under Obamacare. I will pay the penalty for not getting it. I continue to use Samaritan Ministries, which is a co-op, the equivalent of a co-op for Christians who underwrite each other. And I continue to use something I recommend highly, AAA insurance for needs if I have a car accident. Because the one time I am very likely to seek traditional medicine or Western medicine is in the case of a trauma accident or a transportation accident. That's likely to be car since I do so much driving. Okay, well, that's it for the interview. It's another one of the these great Rappaports. We get very wide feedback on the John Rappaport commentary. You either love him or you hate him. But I love it when he goes into the sort of the deeper story on many of these things. And I think he does a good job of sort of peeling back the veil and really looking at some of the deeper things going on behind Obamacare.